Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Reaching Out Radio International and this week's live broadcast of The Way of Healing. My name is Susan Brozek, and I'm a licensed clinical Christian psychotherapist and founder of Healing Word Psychotherapy Services, my private practice in Mequon, Wisconsin. Thank you so much for joining me this evening. Tonight we'll be looking at transition and change. People say that God never shuts one door without opening another one. And that may very well be the case, but they rarely tell you about the hallway in between. So one of the things we're going to look at tonight is how to wait well if you're in a position of going from one stage of life or one event or one life change to another. So transition and change are very difficult for many people, as we tend to be creatures of habit. At times, it can even be emotionally uncomfortable when we know we're facing a change in our life. It may feel unsafe or perhaps even threatening. But when we're able to trust in our God, we then focus on the one who can provide all that we need as we move through various seasons of transition and change in our lives. One of my favorite scripture passages, and in fact also my life verse, is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, which says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths." When we put God first in our lives, he is so faithful to clearly illuminate the path that he sets before us. Another scripture that's so valuable when we're in transition is Matthew 6, 31 through 33. Which says, "So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For people run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself." And some versions of the Bible even say that each day has enough trouble of its own. And I think that many of us can relate to that characterization of how at times in certain seasons in our life, there are seem to be days where we just have all kinds of issues hit us at once. And when it rains, it tends to pour. And so getting through the trials of the day sometimes can really deplete us of our energy. So what the Lord is really stressing here is that we don't borrow trouble from tomorrow, but that we stay in today because his mercies are new every morning, and he'll give us the strength and the grace that we need for each day. But we can't borrow against the future and expect to have grace that's meant for tomorrow given to us today. Our Lord continues to encourage us not to spend our valuable time on energy on worrying. Instead, we can turn our worries into prayers and give our concerns to him. So in this way, we can go about enjoying our lives while the Lord is at work on those things that concern us. And really, if you know how to worry, you know how to meditate, because worrying is running an issue over and over in your mind. As is meditation, it just has a different source and a different focus. So I just encourage people at my practice, the patients that I see rather, if they're stuck in a rut of worrying, just to take those worries and turn them into prayers and to meditate on the truths of God's word and that will pull their mind out of the rut of worry and into a place of encouragement and edification. Also, even scripture memorization, because as you run something over and over in your mind, you tend to remember it quite easily. So I would suggest for those that tend to ruminate or to tend towards negativity and worry, turn those things into prayer and then meditate on something that's true in God's word that will help ease your mind. So every age and every stage of life brings its changes. Physical changes, emotional changes, psychological changes, career changes, relationship changes, family changes, and so forth. In fact, change is about the only thing in life of which we can be absolutely certain. But then there are seasons in life where there seems to be more change than others. There are times when it's not so much about physical changes, although those carry their own set of challenges, but about other internal and external changes happening in our lives, circumstances which can cause distress or frustration. So while change is often good, I think it's the time in between changes that can be the most uncomfortable. It's that space or gap when you are moving from here to there, but you haven't reached there yet. And this gap, or the space in between, can be considered transition. One definition of transition is as follows: the process of a period of changing from one state or condition to another. So a big part of navigating transition is simply taking one step at a time. We can't see too far ahead, so we can only make decisions based upon the limited information that we have right in front of us. It's like stepping into a very dark room with only what's immediately before you that is visible. Author Marilyn Ferguson puts it so well in this visual description. She says, it's not so much that we are afraid of change or so in love with our old ways, but it's that place in between that we may fear. It's like being in between trapezes. There's nothing to grasp onto. And so I'm sure we've all seen a circus where we see the acrobats, and when they have to leap from one trapeze and then onto the one that is flying towards them, they have to let go, first of all, in order to be able to grab on to the other one. And that momentary suspension in midair is often what people fear. It's kind of like the uncertainty and the fear of the unknown before you're able to grab on to what's coming next that can cause a lot of anxiety in people. And that's what transition really can be defined as: the potentially uncomfortable place in the land that lies between where you were before and where you're going to. And we can be so thankful to God that He helps us through these periods of transition with assurances from His Word and promises that He will never leave us nor forsake us, and the encouragement that He guides our way forward and He illuminates our steps and the path that we are to take. And it's really for our own good that we don't see too far ahead into the future, even though it's very tempting and our carnal nature certainly would want to see what is around the corner. But in many ways, that's God's protection, because if we were to see all of the events that are down the road for us, although many of them may be wonderful, and I'm sure they are, there also may be events that right now, if we had to consider what those were, might overwhelm us. And so God sees the full picture, and He sees the whole, but we see in part, and we understand in part, and we see as through a glass darkly, which means we're not going to have the full picture with clarity that He has. And as a result of that, we need to exercise our faith and our trust in Him, that He knows what's best for us, and that He does not want to reveal too far down the road, because then we wouldn't be depending upon Him for our needs. We'd be depending upon our own intellect and trying to get everything figured out and planned so that we could have assurance of what the future holds. And that's the opposite of faith. So Even if it might seem at times like nothing is happening in your particular situation, or maybe it might even seem that heaven is silent and that God has forgotten about you, I encourage you to trust him, as I was just saying, that he has it all completely under his sovereign control at all times. He has it covered, and he wants what's best for you even more than you do. His perspective is so much wider and greater than yours. So hold on to his promises. As we further consider the change of seasons, especially right now in America, as we have officially transitioned from summer to fall just a few weeks ago, there's a particularly applicable passage of scripture from the book of Ecclesiastes that many of you may be familiar with. Please allow me to read a few verses for you from Ecclesiastes chapter 3. There is a time for everything and a season for everything under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for work and a time for peace. We can see from this passage that God definitely works seasonally in our lives. And this is clear even from the very start of creation in Genesis 1:14, which states, "Then God said, 'Let lights appear in the sky to separate the day from the night. Let them be signs to mark the seasons, days, and years.'" So God set up the physical world in such a way that we would experience different seasons. Seasons divide up the year, and they each have a different feel or a sense to them. Seasons give life a natural sense of rhythm. But as well as physical seasons in creation, God also created men and women in such a way that we experience life seasonally as well. There are the big seasons of life that pretty much everyone goes through, which are birth, childhood, adolescence, adulthood, the middle-aged years, the senior years, etc. But then there's also seasons within those seasons. In other words, different times and stages that we go through in life, no matter what chronological age or stage we might be at. So at every stage of our lives, we are in a particular season. It's good to examine your life and to think about what season you're in, because knowing this season determines your response to it. You can do the right thing in the wrong season and wonder why you're not getting the results you want, which could end up in frustration and confusion. In 1 Chronicles 12:32, we read about the sons of Issachar, men who understood the times and knew what to do. These men understood the season that they were in, and therefore they were able to take advantage of it. They made the most of their season, so to speak. So when you know what season you're in, you can respond in the right way to best get through it and to get the most out of it. Also, knowing your season gives you certain expectations. It enables you to make better decisions and can even prevent disappointments if your expectations have been set too high or are unrealistic in some way. And this is really the truth about expectations. When they're not in line with reality, they can set us up for disappointment. And disappointment then can lead to discouragement, which means to literally lose heart, which can lead to then depression and despair. So it's very important that we catch ourselves at the point of an unmet expectation, and we catch ourselves at the point of disappointment. And a famous televangelist will often say, if you are disappointed, then ask God to help you get reappointed. Because if you sit in disappointment too long, as I just explained, you're kind of on a slippery slope downward into discouragement and depression and so forth. So especially as it pertains to having expectations that are too high, or you're expecting too much of another person in your life, or you're expecting something from another person that only God can provide for you, those can often be setups for extreme periods of disappointment in your life. So just as a related aside here, keep your mind tuned into what your expectations are, not only of others in your life and of yourself, but also about your life in general and what you expect it to be for you. Because oftentimes what we think it should look like is not at all what it ends up being. And so we need to be able to embrace the reality of what our life looks like versus the way that we thought it might have gone or should have gone. So oftentimes, I found, at least in my own life, that we're better at recognizing a season once it's over. Perhaps for the first time in days, weeks, or months, for example, you happen to feel upbeat, positive, or maybe encouraged, and then you look back and think, that was a very tough season that I just went through, but now it feels like I've entered a new season. So this is just an example of how it might seem for you, that once you look back and realize what you've come out of, then you recognize it as a difficult season. But oftentimes when we're in the midst of it, all we can see is the trial in front of us, and we're not able to have the perspective that this too shall pass and that seasons do change. So life does happen seasonally, as I've mentioned, and knowing what season you're in will help you to respond appropriately. Another important fact in terms of transition and change is that seasons have a beginning and they have an ending. Sometimes it's a relief to know that seasons have an ending, especially if you're in a difficult one. Also, seasons will vary in length and in intensity. Your current season might last a few days, or it could go on for several months or years. But at some point, the season will shift, things will change, and you will move into the next phase of your life that God has ordained for you. This is why it's so important to not give up, even when you are in the most difficult of seasons. And the Bible talks about us having a great cloud of witnesses that are cheering us on to run the race and to fight the good fight of faith. And it's so important to know that those things that have gone on before us are cheering us on. And we don't know exactly in what type of theological or doctrinal terms that scripture verse is referring. But what we can know is that these seasons that we find to be so difficult and seem to be interminable, or sometimes even so long that they seem that they'll be without an end in sight, that those are the moments and those are the trials that we're facing that we need to really dig our heels in all the more, because we know that we have a faithful God that will see us through to the end of that season, and we will come out on the other side no matter how long it may take. So in that sense, we need to understand that the season you are in will pass. And for some of you, as I just mentioned, that's good news. But maybe for others, you might be thinking, I'm in a great season of my life right now and I don't want it to change. And that's fantastic if that's the case. So be sure to enjoy it and make the most out of it while you're in it. Appreciate it and give gratitude and thanks to God for it. In addition, I found that most of us fall into one of two camps when it comes to transition. We either try to hold on to a season that has passed because we liked it better than the one we are in, or we try to fast forward into the next season because we don't like where we are currently. But the reality is, you cannot skip a season, and you can't even fast forward a season. You have to go through it at the pace that God has foreordained and appointed. And once it's done, it's done. You can't continue to hold on to it or live in the past. I'm sure we all know people, and maybe we are those people that are tempted to hold on to the so-called glory days, in retrospect seeming to be the days in our lives when we didn't have a care in the world or when everything was going smoothly and seamlessly. But remember, too, that hindsight, although it's said to be 2020, is not always the most accurate way to view the past. There tends to be a phenomenon that has to do with recalling the past in more of a positive way than the actual experience of the past was. So in other words, we tend to remember some of the really good periods as being even better than they actually were. And when we do that, we can get very attached to the past and go through this sort of glory days period, or characterization, which I just described for you, where we think that our best lives are behind us and now we're just in the midst of drudgery or routines, when in fact that's not the case at all. In fact, it's not healthy to try to hold on to the past and the days that we thought were so great, because God has so much more that he wants to do in and through us. So God's word says that his mercies are new every morning. And if you recall, he gave the Israelites fresh manna for each day. And this is talked about in the Old Testament, of course, when they would try to hold the manna over into the next day in order to be able to save some of it, they found that it had gone sour and bad. So this just illustrates the importance of knowing when to let go and to continue to allow God to lead you gently into the next season of your life as you transition. You can't grasp onto what he has before you if you don't let go of what you're holding on to from your past. It will simply rip you apart. So if there's a season that God is prompting you to let go of right now, even as I'm presenting this broadcast, pay attention to the nudging of the Holy Spirit. He may be using a presentation and a topic like this to get you to be able to move forward and perhaps let go of something that you've been holding on to for so long. Alternatively, we may also try to jump ahead into the next season before it's even arrived. We always imagine, or we maybe have been told, that the best is yet to come and that the best is just ahead of us. So while it's true that many of us can be living in the glory days, it's also true that we tend to have a romanticized view of what can lie ahead as well. And we don't want to race ahead of God if we feel that the best is yet to come. So we need to be prayerfully cautious with this, because we don't want to get ahead of his timetable. His timing is always perfect. We always hear this phrase that God is never early, but he's also not late. And that is so true. Sometimes we want him to be early, but he's never late either, and we need to keep our pace in line with his pace. He will open doors for you, and it's not our job to force them open or pry them open or to try to kick them down. We need to let him do it for us. The reality, again, is that seasons do change, and we can't hold on to the past, nor can we shortcut the journey into the future. To illustrate this shifting of seasons in a very practical way, once again, here in America where I live, as I stated, we're essentially in between seasons right now, at least meteorologically. And I know that it's technically fall, but summer was over just a few weeks ago. And as I said earlier, we're in a time of transition now where some days it might be warm enough, at least in this part of America, to go outside in just a t-shirt and pants. But then the next day it might be so cold that we require a sweater and a jacket and even a scarf. So I think that that's what transition can sometimes feel like. We haven't fully left the past behind us, and yet at the same time, we haven't fully entered into the future. We're living in the in-between. And sometimes being in the in-between, or the hallway, as I referred to at the beginning of the broadcast, means that life may not be as predictable as it used to be. And we like predictability. We want to know what's going to happen. This can be very unsettling, this unpredictability. It's difficult then to make long-term plans because we may not be sure where we'll be or what our life will look like in the years to come. So ambiguity is very difficult psychologically and emotionally for many people because of the uncertainty that it brings. But the most important point to remember, no matter where you are regarding life change, is that God is at work in every season and in every transition. In Ecclesiastes 3, which I just read a few moments ago, after Solomon lists all of the different seasons, he concludes by saying this about God: He has made everything beautiful in its time. And we need to know this, that in every season, God is present and God is faithful. Seasons change, but God does not. In every single season of our lives, He is at work creating something beautiful. One famous Christian author writes in his devotional book a reading entitled The Book of the Unmentioned God. Allow me to read it to you. The teacher took me to the Chamber of Scrolls. We sat down at a small wooden table upon which he placed a small and ornate scroll. This, he said, is unique of all books of the Bible. Do you know what makes it different from the rest? The name of God. The name of God makes it different? No, the absence of the name of God makes it different. The book of Esther is the only book in Scripture that contains absolutely no mention of God. That seems very strange. It would seem to be a godless book, he answered. In fact, it's filled with godlessness. Evil plans and evil people, plans to annihilate the people of God. And it's not just the name of God that's missing, but also, it seems, his presence. Darkness reigns, and God is nowhere to be found. So, is the book of Esther less holy than the other books in the Bible? No, he replied, not at all. It's as holy as all the other books that mention his name. That's the point. Even though the name of God isn't mentioned, the hand of God lies behind every event. He is there, unseen, unmentioned, yet working all things together and turning every event around to fulfill his purposes. Esther is the book of the unmentioned God, and the book of the unmentioned God is a most holy book. It's the book that speaks of all the times you don't feel the presence of God. When you don't hear his voice, when you don't see his hand, when there's no sign of his love or purpose, and when he seems far away or not there at all. So when all you see is darkness, that is the time of the book of the unmentioned God. And it's telling you this: even though you don't feel his presence, it is still there. Even though you don't see his hand, it is still moving. Even when you don't hear his voice, he is still speaking, even in the silence. Even when you feel abandoned and alone, still his love is there. And even when he seems hopelessly far away from you, he is still right there beside you, working every detail in your life for his purposes and your redemption. And in the end, the light will break the darkness, the good will prevail, and you will know that you were never alone. He was with you all along, and it was holy. It was the time of your book of the unmentioned God. So whenever you can't see or feel the presence of God in your life, know that he's fully there. It's just your book of the unmentioned God. So sometimes it's very hard to appreciate where we're at, and we need to ask God to help us find the sweetness in even the most bitter of seasons at times. In fact, we need to do that because that way we can see what he wants us to glean from each season of our life, not just to race through it to get on to something better, but to mine the treasures in darkness, as it were, to be able to see what's valuable in the times of darkness and in the times of trial. Most of us are familiar with Romans 8, verse 28, which reminds us that in all things God works for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. So all things means all things, even if we can't see it right away. And if we could, we would not need faith. So as I wrap up tonight, remember this verse and remember that in whatever season you find yourself in right at this moment, that God is with you. And you can be completely confident that He is at work in the middle of it, all for your good, because of His great love for you. And that's all the time that we have left for tonight. Please allow me to close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord God, that you never leave nor forsake us. And I just pray that this message tonight reaches the hearts that have tuned in to listen, Lord God. I pray that you would minister to each one this evening, whether they are in a good season or in a difficult season, Lord, or if they're in transition between seasonal changes, Lord God. I just pray that you would minister to hearts, bring your peace that passes all understanding. Help them to understand as well that what they are in right now is a season and seasons do pass. And that, Lord, if they're in the midst of a trial and a difficult time, that they would know that you are just a hand's breadth away. You are right there, and you are resident, Lord God, within those that call upon your name and believe in your name, Lord. That they need only bow the knee to you and cry out to you, and you will help them in whatever season they are in right now, Lord God. You will give them extra strength, extra grace, extra mercy, Lord God, to endure and to run the good race and to fight the good fight and to cross the finish line, Lord God. So I just pray that this message will have encouraged and edified those that are listening around the globe this evening, Lord God. I thank you for the privilege of this opportunity to minister your word, the truth, to people, Lord God, that need to hear a message of encouragement and hope as they go through transition and change. Lord, may this bring good fruit going forward. And we just thank you and give you all the glory for it. In your glorious and holy name, amen. Thank you so much for listening this evening, and I hope you'll join me again in 2 weeks for my next broadcast. If you'd like to contact me directly at Healing Word, my private practice, please feel free to call 414-254-9862 or visit my website at www.healing-word.com. Thank you very much, and God's richest blessings be upon you.